excited?
You said that you know what you just said. I'm saying, did you read it in the Bible? How do you know it? You said you made a statement. You said, I know this. You said, we know this.
Well, we are.
I don't know who we is, because I don't know that. It's certainly not in the Bible.
All right. You read the Bible verses in the Gospel indicate that Jesus was arrested by the temple guards and taken to Caiaphas' house. And then, depending on which Gospel you read, then he's transferred, probably, it doesn't say back to the temple, but you read a lot of Jewish encyclopedias, and they suggest that possibly he was.
Are you kidding me?
No,
the Jews never suggest anything like that. They deny that he ever existed.
Oh, wait a minute. The Talmud itself says, Yeshua was hanged on the eve of the Passover in Sanhedrin.
And
you know, people want to look at this.
I have read all of that, and it is not in any reference to any person that they believe was Jesus, the Christian Jesus.
Well, they used code words because they didn't want to use them.
Oh, come on. As if you could understand code words if they did use them.
Well, a lot of the code words they use are very similar to the life of Jesus.
Like what code words?
Well, they use Balaam for Jesus.
Balaam is Satan. Balaam is Baal. Bell,
I know.
Satan, Lucifer.
But then they refer to him as, you know, dying when he was...
Baal was the golden calf. Moses came down from the mountain and found that they were worshiping the golden calf. Remember?
Right.
Then they called the golden calf Baal.
Now, where do you get this, they called the golden calf Baal? Now, you know, it doesn't say that in the King James Bible or any of the other Bibles.
No, it doesn't. They are interpretations. You have to go to the original Greek and Hebrew.
All right.
They also say in the Bible that we're going to reach the end of the world, doesn't it?
Right.
And that's not what it says in the ancient Greek and Hebrew. It says the end of the age.
Okay. See, I'm really interested in your golden calf thing. That really is interesting. You're saying in the original Hebrew, I have people that can translate.
Baal was the golden calf. That's right. B-A-A-L.
Okay. Bill, good talking to you. I'll let you go.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578. Don't you just live for conversations like that? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. It's Vince from Ohio. How you doing?
Hi, Vince. Doing good. I got your email, by the way.
Oh, did you? That's great. Yeah, it's good to hear you. You're coming in really well, well over here.
So when's your movie going to be on HBO?
The last time I talked to the producer, they were saying October, but I haven't seen anything lately, and I haven't spoken to the producer in the past for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have pushed it forward. I know they had a copyright problem with the title. The original title was Counterforce, and they changed it to Renegade Force now.
That's weird. Last time I checked, you can't copyright titles.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was copyright, but I know there was another. Maybe I explained that the wrong way. There was another movie done in 1988 called Counterforce, and they had a problem with that with that film company.
Okay.
But that's what I heard. So how's things going out there?
Oh, going fine.
Yeah, that's great.
Just tired. I'm just tired today for some reason. There's no reason for it. I'm just tired. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I know I stayed up late. That could be. I stayed up late last night to listen to Stan Deo on Art Bell to see what he was going to say. And I'm going to probably stay up tonight and listen to Sean David Morton because I want to see how, you know, how he has evolved. Let me put it that. I want to see how the Son of Satan has evolved over the years.
I'm not familiar with him. Is he he's a Satanist, then, I take it?
He's a con man is what he is. Well, just listen to Art Bell tonight. You'll hear him.
Yeah, you know what, Art Bell, when I listen to his show, it always gives me the same feeling when I was a little kid, and we used to watch Walt Disney TV show on Sunday nights or something.
Uh-huh.
It gives me the same feeling. It's that phony, baloney BS.
Yeah.
This guy lives in the X-Files and the science fiction movie channel.
Yeah, Spin and Marty used to make me puke.
What's that?
Spin and Marty.
Okay.
If you watched Walt Disney Fantasyland on Sunday night, you saw Spin and Marty, I'm sure.
No, I don't remember him.
the parentless children who lived on the ranch. Boys. They lived on a boys' ranch. Never mind. Go ahead. You saw Davy Crockett.
Oh, yeah.
Just checking.
the one problem I see today is what I called in for was is that a lot of people are just basically lazy. They just don't want to go out and talk to other people. And a lot of the people that are in the so-called patriot movement, you know, they have no problem, as I've said many times, and you and I have talked about it many times, is they have no problem going to the bars and spending, $20, $30, $40 drinking a night, but they go to a gun show, and if you have some sort of patriotic type organization asking for a $5 donation, and you out of the $5 donation, you still get like 6 newsletters a year, and it helps keep the organization going to fight bad gun legislation or so forth. You just can't, these people don't want to part with their money. It's amazing that they want to sit and complain.
Yeah, the socialists give everything that they've got, millions and millions of dollars to their causes, billions even. Ted Turner just gave $1 billion to the United Nations.
Sure.
If you ask for donations, you can't get them from so-called patriots. And when you offer them good products, they won't buy those either.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of these...
They do not support their own causes, never have, and because of that, they're losing the battle.
Exactly.
It takes money to fight a war.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can't, it's bad enough, you can't get a donation, and then you go ahead and offer them. I mean, they're actually going to get something. You just want them to buy some products from you. They're actually getting something. In return, you're taking a small, maybe 10, 20, 25% markup off of that. And they still, him haw around, they want to wheel and deal like they're at a gun show.
You know why? Because they're secret socialists and they can't admit it to themselves. They want it for free.
Yeah.
That's socialism and communism, where you get it for free.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's the one thing that I did see being involved in the movie business is that, the movie business, although... You have the Ted Turners out there. You have the big, Oliver Stone. You have big movie producers out there that would want to stop dead in its tracks any type of patriotic movie that or television show that would wake the people up or get patriotism, in their gut. Like if they saw a movie like Sergeant York or something, or a lot of the older movies from the 40s.
Yeah, you don't see any of that coming out of Hollywood today. Closest thing to it was Braveheart, which I was so happy to see.
Yeah, that was a big surprise. That was a big. I would have loved to see that in a modern setting, but that would have been something they would have spotted.
Yeah.
They probably figured, well, the people were too stupid
to make the connection.
And they're right. Most people watched it because they're Mel Gibson fans, or the women like to see Mel Gibson. Many people totally missed the whole point of that movie.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm saying is that. The one problem a lot of people complain about, they don't like the movies at the movie theaters, they don't like what's on the cable. Well, there's a lot of the independent film industry is growing by leaps and bounds. It is unbelievable. You can produce a movie for $50,000 or less and put it on 35mm film and get it edited just as well as any big budget movie because of the fact that, number one, vanity is out there, and you can get actors to work for free. If they know they can get a credit, they will work for free, and there's plenty of them out there. Also, a lot of people that are in the support services, a lot of them don't work all the time, and they would work for credit, or they would work for payment later if the film sells or gets distributed. And, a lot of people can get involved in that process, and it's not that hard because you can call your local... your state film commission, you can call your local film. Now, just about every major city or every major city in the country has a film commission now. And a lot of it is because of these independent film companies that are popping up all over. And if people say they're patriots and they would like to see something like that, I would suggest they get on the internet or get on the telephone and start calling and contacting these different film people. And they can get involved in it. It doesn't take a big, large amount of money. Our film group is working to do a movie. We just did a movie called The Cutoff down in at Screen Gem Studios down in North Carolina. Frank Capra Jr. even made a cameo in the movie. Now, this movie's an action movie. It doesn't really have anything to do with patriotism or anything like that. However, those type of movies can be produced at, you know, for a low budget, you know, a low budget, and I feel that that's one of the few ways that we're going to be able to educate people, because it's a shame that people want to be entertained. But, you know, if people don't get off their rears, and if they could just set a goal to educate 2 people a month, whether they're relatives, and those are the hardest to educate on this on these subjects, because there's always a prejudice involved, because, you know, somebody that's a mechanic in the family tries to tell them who they're educated and so forth at some college, you know, about what's going on in the world. A lot of people, they don't like to hear that, but just if a lot of the relatives don't like to hear that, because they always have these predetermined ideas of how the relative is, and usually it's not favorable. But if people could just decide that, hey, I'm going to go out and educate people a month. I'm going to give them a magazine. I'm going to give them a Veritas. I'm going to give them a New American at least, or something. Or I'm going to buy them a cheap shortwave radio, or I'm going to tape something from a shortwave radio and stick it in their car stereo so they could listen to it. If people would just do that, that would make such a big improvement, because there are so many problems in this country right now that people are fishing around. Again, they know there's something wrong, but they don't know what it is. And your show is, I would say, is probably the best show on anywhere that educates and is also entertaining, but there's no BS involved. And I would, you know, I would think that your listeners and everyone should do that. Maybe take one of your shows, give it away, and start working on it right away, because there's not much time left.
Well, you know, I think I don't think anybody's going to call anybody and tell them they want these kinds of movies, because I happen to know a little trick. If all these people really cared about what Hollywood was producing, they'd buy the stock of the corporations that make the movies, and they'd make them make the movies that they want.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't do that, because that costs money.
Exactly.
Oh, heaven forbid we should spend a nickel on our cause.
Oh. Hey,
heaven forbid.
Yep. You're 100% right, you know. But they,
besides, I read the book, we all know how it comes out in the end. I hear that a lot.
What's that? Oh, yeah.
I read the book, I know how it comes out in the end. Mm-hmm. We win in the end, so we don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, by fact, though.
God helps those who help themselves.
Well, didn't Ben Franklin say that?
No.
I don't think that's not in the Bible, though, is it? I thought I heard that Ben Franklin...
Everybody says it's, you know, it's in the Bible. They read it in the Bible that they know how it comes out in the end, and they're going to win. They don't understand. They just don't understand. The people that are going to be there in the end are going to be the people that helped fight and win the battles, and the rest of them ain't going to be there.
That's true.
If it's all true.
Yes,
and it is. And I have to say that so that I'm not pushing my what I believe on anybody else.
Well, I'll be keeping in touch. I'll let somebody else get on board. You guys are doing a real good job, and say hello to the family for me.
Thank you, Vince.
Yeah, you take it easy, Bill.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Sure. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number, and it's your turn. Hello, it's your turn.
Good evening, Bill. This is Mike from LaBelle.
Hi, Mike.
I've got an FM 100 and a 20-watt amplifier, and I'm kind of glad that I didn't get around to buying a microphone until I started studying the schematic on it, and I found out that it needed one of these electric type mics. Is there anyone there that knows like a particular brand or whatever?
Why does it need an electric type mic? If you have a mixing board, you can use any kind of mic you want. I'm using a ribbon microphone, a BX-44 that was made in the 1920s.
Well, I don't have a board. I can't afford that yet.
Can it go directly into the transmitter?
Yeah,
okay.
There's an input in the front that is for microphone.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it requires a on the inside of the schematic, it says that it feeds the microphone a 5+ voltage. And I found out through a friend of mine, he's an older gentleman,
Ramsey. They made it.
Okay, I'll let you go.
They ought to be able to tell you exactly.
Thank you.
See, we're using a mixing board, so that's not a problem for us.
Yeah, and this idea about putting up transmitters, people have got to, they just got to do it.
Yeah.
Because the New World Order is basically saying that we own these people, and so far God hasn't told me that they own them yet. I'll let you go.
Okay. Thanks
for
calling. 520-320-5203. Why did I do that? Just turned the mic off. Didn't even know what I was doing. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Let me turn the radio down here.
Okay. Please.
This is Bill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoops. Oh my gosh.
Turn it off. Turn it off. You can hear through the phone.
Cleveland Heights. We're a suburb of Cleveland.
Uh huh.
I used to live in East Cleveland.
Yeah.
And that's also a suburb of Cleveland. It's about 4 minutes down the road.
Okay.
And we moved here in Cleveland Heights in 1960. I've been living here in the same house for 38 years. And anyway, we have a park in East Cleveland called Rockefeller Park.
Uh-huh.
And it was named Rockefeller Park after John D. Rockefeller.
I would never have guessed in a million years.
They subsequently renamed it Forest Hills Park. I don't know why, but they did.
Okay.
And we used to play in Rockefeller Park. My dad used to take my brother and I to Rockefeller Park and play and have cookouts. We had a wonderful time. You might say that we played in the backyard of John D. Rockefeller, who made most of his money, as I understand it, in kerosene. And there was a pond in Rockefeller Park.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful pond, a circular pond.
And he used to fill up his bottles full of that pond and... Yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, it was a small pond. In the winter, it would freeze over, and everyone around here, some folks would ice skate on the pond.
Yeah.
But in the summer, there were beautiful swans in the pond.
Okay.
Oh, several dozen beautiful swans. And as the years went by, the neighborhood changed. And an element moved into the neighborhood that didn't have the respect, I don't believe, that they should have for the beauty of the park and the beauty of the pond and the beauty of the swans. And the swans began to be killed. Young people, teenagers,
mm-hmm.
Began to kill the swans. And they killed all the swans. They all died brutally. They were stoned, they were shot, they were stabbed, they were dismembered, and they're gone. And now the pond is no longer a pond. It's been filled in with dirt, and when you drive by there today, it's no longer what it used to be.
Yeah.
That's too bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's happened all over the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is too bad. I remember in Hawaii, there was a section called Kaholo.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the poor section. All different races and people lived down there, but they were all poor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided to do something for these people. They built them a brand new condominium building.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember how they selected who was going to move into this condominium building.
Mm-hmm.
But it was beautiful. I mean, beautiful. Beautiful building with beautiful apartments in it and everything, and they gave it to these people.
Uh-huh.
And they moved in, and 2 weeks later, it was nothing but junk. The pipes were torn out of the wall and sold for scrap metal content, and there was urine in all the hallways and up and down the stairs and feces in the corners and the holes in the wall and windows broken out and everything like that.
I went, I lived in this house built for 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a few weeks ago, early Saturday morning, I don't know why, I stay up all night and I listen to the Hour of the Time and Art Bell and old Glenn Miller records.
Uh-huh. Well, we got a lot of those.
And it just hit me. I got an urge to see my old house that we left 38 years ago. So I drove down to East Cleveland.
I hope you didn't have the same experience I had when I did that.
Well, I was very disappointed.
I was overcome with such a feeling of sadness, I couldn't believe it. And just tears were streaming down my face.
No. There was an oak tree in front of our house, a beautiful oak tree, and it was gone. And the house had been covered over with aluminum siding.
Mm-hmm.
The garage had been refurbished. It didn't look anything like it used to be. And it was very upsetting. It was too bad. I felt very, very uneasy in that neighborhood because of... East Cleveland has the highest crime rate in the state of Ohio, and it's 4 minutes from my house.
It's not always a good idea to go back.
Well, no, I suppose not.
It didn't.
But anyway,
didn't do me any good. Did me a lot of harm, as a matter of fact.
That's the good old days, Bill.
Yeah, it was, and I wish all these people who are lost within themselves and are responsible for a lot of what's happening today. Could have somehow lived through a part of that to see what a wonderful place this country was. Because it was absolutely the most wonderful place upon the face of this earth.
And it can still be again.
Can still be again, yes. Maybe.
It's up to us, I guess.
It is up to us. Nobody else is going to do it for us. You know, people
okay,
live.
Sir. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
520-333-4578. While we're waiting for a call, let's take a little break here and have a drink of water or something. That's for you, my friend.
There you go.
Music. That's music. That's real music. Real music.
Love that.
Yeah.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Bill Doyle. It's Darlene from Eager.
Hi, Darlene. How are you?
Well, you've hit me right between the eyes with it again.
Really? How do we do that?
I am a relatively new listener to you. I mean, I started listening last week.
Uh-huh.
And I can see so much of what you're saying is true. And I am a sheeple. I have sat on my rear end for years. I have done nothing because I have known, I don't know what to do. You tell me to get up and do something, and I agree with you, but I still don't know what to do. What can you do for me?
Well, if you keep listening to this broadcast, you'll find out what you can do. Tonight, what we're asking is that the listening audience tell us what they think we should do. That's the whole theme of tonight's broadcast. Some of them elect not to do that, but, you know, we can't force them to come up with an answer. And generally, it's because they don't have an answer.
Well, that's where I'm sitting, because I don't have an answer. I realize that we're in deep crap. I mean, we are in big trouble.
Yes, we are. And don't feel bad about being a sheeple, Darlene. All of us.
All
of us were sheeple for most of our lives. I wasn't born knowing any of the stuff that I talk about on this radio. It took me years to straighten my act out and figure out what the truth was and then get off my butt and do something. And I'm doing something. Not everybody can do what I'm doing, but everybody can do something. And,
well, I'm willing to try anything. I mean, I spent my whole life listening to what other people told me I should do and what they thought was best for me and where I should be at. And it's taken me my whole life to finally become my own person. And I realize that we are in trouble, but I don't know what to do. So I'm really hoping you've got the answers, because I'm still listening.
Well, we may not have all the answers, but we have some of the answers, and you'll be hearing those answers if you continue to listen to this broadcast, I can assure you. Now, we've been doing this for many, many years. There are people out there who started listening to this broadcast on May the 4th, 1992, which was the first time that I ever went on the air anywhere, and I've given them tons of things to do, and many of them have decided to do some of those things, and other people are still sitting on their butt, waiting for somebody else to do it for them.
Well, I know that I try not to let it affect me too much, but I am fearful. We have bought several guns. We've got lots of ammunition. We've got a lot of stuff, but we're one person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear that all the time, but you have to remember that I'm just one person, too, and Jesus Christ was one person. And Joseph Smith was one person, and Pontius Pilate was one person, and Caesar was one person, and Napoleon was one person, and Genghis Khan was just one person. And those, each of those people, whether they did good or bad for the world, had a tremendous effect upon the world because of what they did.
Well, maybe because they knew where they were going and where they needed to be. Maybe that's my problem, is that I'm totally lost.
Well, you know, I think an awful lot of people are, Darlene. I think that you, when you said that, I think you spoke for an awful lot of people.
Well, I haven't missed a program since I started, and I don't plan on missing one, so I'm going to keep listening and see if you can figure out where I'm at.
Well, I don't know if I can figure out where you're at, but I think I can give you an awful lot of information to help you figure out where you're going and how you should be getting there, and how you can help those of us who really want to save freedom, not just for this country, but for the whole world.
You Thank
see, if we fall, the world falls.
Yep. Absolutely. And that is a very frightening situation.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you, and good night.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Arlene.
Okay, Doyle.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure, we have my daughter, Dorothy, whom you know as Pooh. She's going to play her harmonica for you. And if you want to put your book right up there.
There you go.
All right, baby.
I'll play Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay.
Beautiful. You have one more for us, maybe? What do you think?
Let me see.
One or two? You want to do one or two?
I'll do two more.
Okay.
Let me find one.
Okay. She's just learning to play the harmonica, folks, and she's reading the music from a book, and it tells her when to do what to make the notes, you know, the way they're supposed to be. And it just looks like a bunch of, it's not sheet music, it's harmonica music. And it looks like a code book is what it looks like. It really looks like a code book. Looks like she went to the National Security Agency and stole one of her code book.
I authenticate.
Okay, I'll play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. This is for Allison if she's outside, if she's listening.
Oh boy, right. She'll love that. That's her favorite.
Okay.
One more.
Okay.
What are you going to do now?
I'll do Oh Susanna.
Okay, that's a good one.
All right.
That's my favorite, in fact. Giving us a wonderful recitation for the hour of the time.
You're welcome.
Okay, folks, we'll go back to the phone now. 520-333-4578. Oh, we missed something here. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. 520-333-4578 is the number, telephone number. Give me those knives there. No, the other ones. Most of the knives are gone, folks. While we're waiting for a telephone call here, I'll tell you what we've got left. In case any of you still want to have one. And we're not going to do any prices or anything like that. I'm just going to tell you what we've got here. In case any of you have forgotten about it. We've got two Snuffy Smiths. We've got one Christmas knife with the Virgin Mary and little Jesus. We have, don't blame me, I voted for Bush. And we have one Tom Corbett Space Cadet knife left. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill?
Yes.
Yeah, I was enjoying your show, it's informative. I wanted to ask you about this Freemasonry.
Uh-huh.
Do you know, is Billy Graham, I've been hearing that he is a Mason.
Billy Graham is a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite, of the Southern Jurisdiction.
Okay, Scott, that's what it
is. He is a bona fide member of the Illuminati.
Okay. So it is true. Okay.
Absolutely true.
Also, one more thing.
He is a counterfeit Christian.
Oh, absolutely. The Pope now, is he involved in it?
Is the Pope himself involved in it?
Yeah.
I have no evidence that the Pope is a Freemason. I do have a lot of evidence that a lot of the Vatican staff and the people who surround the Pope in the Vatican are Freemasons and members of other secret societies.
Right, I've heard that too, as part of the bishops and everything.
Oh, it's absolutely true.
Because my wife and I were watching satellite, this is several years ago, and we saw him, what do you call him? He's got the pontificate going with the audience or whatever.
I'm not Catholic, so I don't really know.
Okay, whatever it was, we saw him on TV, and he put his hands together in the most unusual manner. He looked like the horned hand on one hand and put it across his other hand after he did this audience or whatever it was.
I would have to see that.
Right. I wish I'd had that on tape. It was unbelievable. It was,
yeah.
Sent a chill down us, you know.
I would have to see that because that is, definitely is one of the signs.
Okay. In other words, he made, horns over it, like, but I'm
well,
sure
I would have to see it.
Yeah.
It doesn't do any good to describe it to me.
Right, exactly.
Because it is probably, what you saw, you may have misinterpreted, may have been one of the rituals of the Catholic Church. I don't really know. But I would have to see it. It sounds very close to one of the ritual secret signs of several of the secret societies.
See, look, I work in the building trades, most of my life, and I've been working with these masons all my life, and I mean, they always try to put you in the jackpot or use a signal sign here, I just want to know.
Well, you have to understand the building trade has absolutely nothing to do with Freemasonry.
Right. I heard you say that, and that was very interesting because I had assumed that it started with the trade.
They want you to think that. But that's not true. It came out of the ancient mystery religions of all of the ancient peoples, goes all the way back to the very beginning of the written history of the human race, and you can find these secret societies and esoteric rituals and mystery schools throughout the history of the human race, long before there was any builders' guilds, and that's just a cover that they use.
Well, I'll tell you, you brought to our attention that earlier tonight that it was to break the monarchies and everything. It's the New World Order. I mean, it just...
Yes, by giving the common man freedom in the United States of America, they demonstrated to men in nations all around the world that they could be free, something that it was unthought of, unheard of. Nobody would even entertain the thought. And the next thing that happened is populations began to rise up at the instigation and leadership of an underground movement from these secret societies, and they toppled the kings and queens from their thrones. You see, as long as the kings and queens had the ultimate power of life or death and ownership of kingdoms, they could never even aspire to even hope to have their world utopian government that they have always aspired to.
Makes sense to me. It's kind of like a missing piece. Now I understand it more. Hey, it's a great show. I just started listening, and we'll be listening in the future.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's always in the guise of improving the lot of the common man or the poor man. And if you look at what happens to the common man and the poor man after they reach, they get their power, it's absolutely amazing that anybody's still falling for this baloney.
The French Revolution,
yeah.
Example.
Yeah, and you're hearing some of the buzzwords today,
yeah,
as they try to implement the plan here. Now is the time, is one of them. Now is the time. Listen for that phrase. You'll hear it. You'll hear it, and you'll hear it from the most unsuspected people that you can imagine. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
I've been on your webpage and have admired it greatly.
Well, thank you. It took an awful lot of work, as you can probably imagine.
Now, Mr. Cooper, I have a videotape of Secretary Hamry of reconstructing of our military command structure.
Uh-huh.
And how they are going to use treaties to redo the command structure.
Uh-huh.
And I have it straight from their mouths.
I was wondering
if you'd be interested in having a copy of that tape.
I was just going to ask you if there was any way that we could get a copy.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have a copy.
And I paid. It was only showed one time on C-SPAN. And it was never shown again for that purpose of not wanting the public to be aware. I read your document 7277, I believe it was.
It wasn't my document. It was written by the United States State Department.
Yes, sir. And they seem to be in that mold now where they are disarming us and also doing the re-command structure. As you're well aware, they have our forces spread out throughout 100 countries,
mm-hmm,
due to the UN mandate of peacekeeping.
Yes.
And one other thing that disturbs me greatly is that when they're shutting down these military bases in our countries, they are giving them to foreign countries. For example, in New Mexico, we have a German base down there now.
German Air Force Base.
Yes, sir.
And on United States soil.
Yes, sir. And also, I don't know if the public's aware of it, but Francisco, they gave a base to Gorbachev for their Green Party.
Well, they did not give him the base. They did not give him the Presidio. What they did is deactivate the Presidio. But before the Presidio was deactivated, they gave him a building on the base to use as his headquarters.
Yes, sir.
And then when they deactivated the base, then, he kept that as his headquarters.
Now, it seems to me that all this is not a coincidence.
Oh, no, not at all.
And it amazes me, why is no one talking about this?
I'm doing my best. I'm trying as hard as I can.
do people realize that 60% of our commanders since 1992 have either been forced out or have retired and have been replaced by puppet commanders?
Oh, yes. Number one, they're members of secret societies. Number two, they are willing to go along with the New World Order and are actually, in fact, committing treason, going against their oath. And anybody who will not agree to these things or who does not belong to the secret orders is riffed and forced out.
This is unbelievable that we have congressmen. Well, most of the leadership is CFR members, but it seems to me that you have enough in Congress that got elected in 94 that would throw out these leaderships like Mr. Jeffries, Mr. Chaffee from Rhode Island. These are all, like, Mr. Chaffee's already decided that he's going to go along with the Cato Treaty. They're going to be reinforced by regulations to do away with all the jobs in this country and force the regulations on us to where all the jobs will definitely go overseas. Which,
yeah, I wrote this in my book many years ago, that the goal for this country is a service economy. Pays the lowest wages of all. You know,
how could they get past something like gas and NAFTA? And then I remember Mr. James Gold, I believe he died over in London, and he come out right before he died, and he says, American people have to be aware Fast Track is about one world government where they're going to set up a court of the Americas to decide your trade issues.
Yeah, we talked about that on this broadcast.
How could Congress that are elected by their people...
They don't care. They don't care about the people. They have contempt for the people.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Mr. Cooper. You know, you wouldn't think things like that would happen, but this has been going on for quite a few years, and they've seen a chance where they have all the puppets. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, they have all the puppets now in our command structure throughout our Congress, and now they're going regionalism, where
yeah.
they're sticking people in to positions and to each county throughout the United States.
Well, they can't lawfully do it. It goes against all the state constitutions, but where they can talk people into it, ignorant people who don't understand the law, accept it and don't even realize that it violates the law.
Have the citizens been dumped down that much, sir?
Oh, you better believe it.
I believe.
How many people do you know that have read the Constitution for their state, much less the Constitution for the United States? And if they have read it, how many of them do you think that have read it understand what they wrote, what they read?
I don't know, sir, but it seems like to me, lately I live in Baltimore, Maryland, and that they are putting military people into our police force now that have a military mind when they stop you. Myself, I got stopped for a seatbelt, and I said, why are you guys enforcing a seatbelt? And this is the honest God's truth. And I said, I think you're taking freedom of choice away from me. And I said, what if the president would decide tomorrow? By the way, he called for two backup police officers when I said that.
Oh, you scared him to death. You asked him a question.
He
probably peed in his pants.
And all three of them come, sir, and this is the honest God's truth. I asked each member there, I said, if the president tomorrow would do away with the Constitution, would you enforce that? And each one of them said, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's not unbelievable. They're little robotons. They are exactly the same mentality that Hitler recruited for his stormtroopers.
Well, I see where the UN is starting their own national youth movement.
Yeah.
The environmental movement all throughout the UN and inundating all these laws and these regulations into our country.
Hold on just a minute. I got to turn the tape over.
They're inundating all these UN laws and regulations for our country. It's like we've been dominated by the UN for the last 50 years, and anything they want to do in their committees and reports, then it becomes law here.
You just explained it yourself. If the United Nations is making resolutions and passing laws that we must follow, does it not follow that we are a vassal state of the United Nations and not a sovereign free people?
Yes, sir. It seems like to me they're going just like each member has one vote. We have a vote the size of Haiti. And whether we like it or not, them, whatever they say goes, because we only have one vote.
Yeah, that's why they're getting rid of our military and they want to disarm us, because they know that there's going to come a point when we're going to, when everybody will understand what's happening, and they don't want us to be able to pick up a weapon and take our country back.
Well, I happened to be on the UN web pages yesterday, and all over the radio broadcast and all over the radio their page web page is talking about having a conference to do away with small arms and do it through the Department of Disarmament in this country.
Yeah, I've been warning people for many years.
Unbelievable. I feel like it's in God's hands now.
No, it's not. It's
really?
It's on my hip.
It's on your hip, sir?
Yes, sir. I got a .45 strapped to my hip right this moment, and I am prepared and willing to use it in defense of my freedom.
I just watched a movie.
Let me explain something to you and the listening audience. If you are not willing and ready to die for freedom, you cannot be free. You cannot have it.
You'd be a slave.
It cannot happen. You cannot be free if you are not willing to die for freedom.
Well, isn't it?
That's the way it works.
Isn't it said that what surprises me, sir, if you go through history from day one, anybody that has had freedom has always lost it. Don't the American people see that? That sir, have so much lost of freedom?
Well,
gotta fight for it every once in a while, sir.
Well, excuse me, nobody in this world has ever had freedom until the United States of America was created, and nobody has had it since. We're the only people upon the entire face of this earth who have ever been free. The Canadians did not ever have the freedoms that we have had. The English have never had the freedoms that we have had. No other people on the face of this earth has ever been free like the American people. So we are the first ones to ever be free, and we are the first ones who are going to give it up.
I can't believe that they would go down without a rebellion in this country, and this, sorry to say this, but a spill of blood to protect the freedoms and liberties of every individual in this country. It's time for to tell them that we are rising up throughout this country little by little, one by one, and we are going to form a rebellion and take our country back, sir.
I've already done that. The United States of America is at war with me right this moment.
Well,
I am at war with the treasonous de facto government that has destroyed my constitutional Republican government.
Down here, sir, last week in Hebron, Maryland, they had a little test. You might have heard about it. They had the Marine Corps down here. We went down and took actually videos and had the sheriff interview where they're going to confiscate a practice of confiscating weapons.
Yeah.
And we have the sheriff on tape admitting to that fact. We'll send you that tape too, sir.
Great.
Thank you. I want to, God bless you, sir.
Well, God bless you too.
And God bless America.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. You know, I'm physically and completely at war with the traitors who have destroyed this country. I am a member of the militia. We constitute the militia for the United States of America. the Second Continental Army of the Republic. So, you know, it started a long, long time ago, ladies and gentlemen. You're just playing catch-up. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I want to thank you for what you're doing. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's good to hear you again.
This is the last voice of freedom in America.
It's been a long time. You know, you ask what we do. I don't broadcast, but buy a lot of books. I've got a few of yours lined out. By the way, I'm Joey from Virginia.
Hi, Joey.
Hi.
I buy your books. Me and my buddy share our audio and videotapes with people. Anybody that'll listen. I've talked to people in the checkout line, you know, whether they want to hear it or not.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it disturbs a lot of people.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm used to that.
Yeah, I've had some pretty extreme confrontations. It's kind of fun in a way, you know. But I got turned onto this thing back in '74, and you know, little by little, just learning what I could as time goes by, and trying to wake people up.
Mm-hmm.
That's my ability. But I used to go to parties back in high school and talk about this stuff, and of course all my buddies just wanted to drink.
Well, see, I was stupid back in high school. I was one of the buddies that wanted to party.
I was 16 years old and talking about the New World Order, and you know, I wonder now about all those people and where they are with this. We're watching all this evolve right in front of our faces, and I know that I planted some seeds back then.
It's always amazed me that few people can see what's happening. And the reason they can't see it is they don't know what it's supposed to be. They have no idea.
What it's supposed, yeah, what things are supposed to be like.
Yes. They have absolutely no conception. They don't even know that they've lost a lot of their freedoms.
Well, they also have no conception of what things are.
They do know that something's wrong. And they do know that the government is dangerous because they're scared to death of the government. They are fearful.
You're right. You know, including myself, you know, I've worked for 26 years to try to wake people up. I mean, this is my commission in life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, whether they want to hear it or not, but anymore, I mean, it's so many people just refuse to even look at it.
They will until it begins to hurt them terribly, and that time is not far off.
Right.
It's very, very close.
Well, I would just urge everyone out there that's listening.
In fact, it's so close I can smell it. I can smell it.
I would urge everybody out there that's listening to just, you know, just keep pounding at it and irritate some people. You know, try to make people laugh, but try to get the word out every day.
Doyle went to the supermarket. They thought he was me because he was wearing his weapon on his hip. One of the checkout boys asked one of the other ones, said, "Is that a real gun?" What did he say, Doyle?
Of course, that's Mr. Cooper.
That right?
But of course it's a real gun. It's Mr. Cooper.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. It is hilarious. In a country where we are given the right to keep and bear arms, people see you wearing a pistol or carrying a rifle.
Must be a nut.
And they get scared.
Like that rent-a-cop.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But go ahead.
Well, you know, I heard earlier callers say something about hanging, and you know what? I call in a local radio show periodically, and I actually mentioned that last week.
Mentioned what?
Well, that you know, the radio talk show host was asking what we thought we should do.
Yeah.
With this Clinton situation, and of course, you know, I think the man's got a right to his private life.
I don't believe that there's a crime between consenting adults where sex is concerned. I do believe that certain things are immoral, but that's between that person and God.
Well, but he also did it on the clock, and that doesn't seem quite right. You know, I'd have been fired for that.
Well, you might have if you'd have got caught, but I'm telling you right now that whether it's right or wrong, there's Americans doing it all across this country.
Right. The
hypocrisy is amazing.
My comment was that the band's done enough.
See, it's not the sex that we should be upset about. They're consenting adults. They were both over the age of consent. It's the lies under oath.
Right.
And the treason that's being conducted, accepting campaign funds from a foreign nation whose ideology is alien and enemy to the United States of America, a communist country, and selling them and giving them secrets.
Everybody knows it.
Military secrets.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it. I don't understand why it's not completely obvious to everyone. But if we, you know, if we started hanging traitors, like it's supposed to be.
Well, we're Americans, and we can't do that.
Right.
You know why we can't do that. And see, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm telling you that if we're going to get somebody for a crime, first you have to have the evidence they committed the crime.
Right.
You must indict them. They must have a fair trial. And be judged by a jury of their peers. Then if they're found guilty, they must be given the penalty prescribed in the law.
Right.
If American citizens start running through the streets, executing people, then I got to tell you something. You better go back and study the French Revolution. You don't want that to happen.
Oh, no.
You do not want that to happen. I'm telling you that I can see it coming, but I don't want it to happen, and I don't want anybody to do it. I want things to be done under the law. I want a constitutional Republican government restored. And I want traitors arrested. I want them held for trial. I want them tried by a jury of their peers. And if they're found innocent, apologize and let them go home. If they're found guilty, then they should suffer whatever penalty the law prescribes for that particular crime.
I'm definitely in favor of doing it in a lawful manner.
Good. Yeah. You should have seen the look on the local FBI guy's face when I told him that someday he may have to stand as the defendant in a trial being tried for treason for what he has done as a member of the FBI, for what they did at Waco, Texas. He says, oh, I wasn't there. I said, I'm sorry, sir, but if I was a member of an organization, whether I was there or not, and that organization did that, you would arrest me, try me, and execute me under the conspiracy laws as being just as guilty as those who were there that did it. And I'm telling you right now, that same law applies to you, and the blood drained right out of his face.
Well, bet. Bill, I got to tell you, man, it's just so good to hear you again.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good to be here.
Good to have you.
Well, you better listen to me while I'm here, because I got to tell you right now, they want me dead so bad they can taste it, and one of these days they're going to come up here to do that job.
Well, I've been listening. I listened to you in WWCR. I listened to you, I think it was 99.55, some frequency. After you left WWCR, I went through pain.
Yeah, I was on 9.955. That's where I was at.
Reception was not so good, but I often listened anyway.
That's because I was educating Castro, and he didn't want to hear it. So he was jamming me. It was not just me. That's a Cuban freedom station, and everybody on there is telling Castro all about the evils of socialism and communism, and so he jammed it.
Well, things got pretty nasty last Thursday night. You got squeezed out here.
Well, that had nothing to do with jamming or squeezing out. There was a tremendous magnetic storm that wiped out all communications everywhere.
Well, I was getting some really heavy Spanish right above you and actually right below. Somebody was coming in really, really strong.
They used to do that to me in WWCR, too. When I get going strong and develop a big listening audience, they put two strong stations on each side of me and tried to wipe it out that way. But WWCR was so strong it didn't work, and WBCQ is so strong it's not going to work either.
Well, I will listen to you as long as you're there, buddy.
Okay.
And I want to ask all the listeners.
I'll be here as long as I'm alive.
Buy Bill Cooper's book and give it away every chance you get.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for calling.
520-333-4578 is the number. And you want to... good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Rick in Ohio.
Hi, Rick. Good.
Listen, we've been... Barbara and I have been sitting here talking about what...
We got your card. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Just
you're
got
welcome.
It.
Welcome
got it
back to, once again.
Got it today.
Ready.
We've been talking a little bit about your issue tonight.
Yeah.
And I want to share with you and the listeners a couple of things that developed in our life. I know we talked a little bit about this at the conference when I met with you and talked to you.
Uh-huh.
You know, the long and the short of what's happened to us, you know, we've been through a lot of turmoil and problems personally and professionally, as you know. And I don't know. I think you reach a point where looking at who the enemy is one of those events that kind of settled in on us.
It's sobering, isn't it?
Yeah. We kind of view the mystery Babylon religion. We view the enemy as a spiritual force.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we have to be active physically. We have to be active socially. We have to be active personally, proactive, very active. But we also know that we're fighting a war that we believe is spiritually based or spiritually driven. We talk about the forces that are at work, and we talk about terms like good and evil or good and bad or plus and minus or however we want to define it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, we had to make a decision about where to draw force or draw strength from. And we came to believe that we can't fight a spiritual war with material tools alone.
If you're not spiritually armed.
Yeah. Well, we're not spiritually armed in the material world. However, we have, at least in our lives anyway, and I don't know, maybe in some of the listeners this has occurred, but using or getting into a spiritual state, I guess, has helped us greatly. In that regard, we've drawn strength from that.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically look for marching orders, and then we get busy. Similar mm-hmm. to what you said, that you read the Bible, you read the words of Jesus Christ, you say your prayers, but then you get busy.
Yes.
And you begin working. And sometimes you don't know where you're going. It's that feeling like you can't see the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You feel a guiding hand that moves you through to some conclusion. And I want to share something with you. Remember I told you about all that Bar Association stuff that was going on?
Yes.
Well, today I got word that all charges were dismissed.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and we've been, I did exactly what you suggested. We mounted an assault. We went back after it aggressively. We didn't sit back and do nothing, but we did pray on it, and we asked for the wisdom and understanding to do the right thing, to do at least in our spiritual framework, God's will.
Uh-huh.
And then we just got busy, and we just kept working on it, similar to the way I see you do. And your tenacity to continue, even though sometimes you don't even know where you're going and what you're doing, but you know that if you're not doing it right, that you expect to not succeed in that direction. But you don't quit.
Right.
You continue on.
That's correct.
And I think that's, if there's anything that I want to impart to the listeners, it's not to give up. It's to continue to move through space and time aggressively and positively with a sense of who you are and where you are, but in relation in proper perspective. I think if all of us...
You must put all your trust in God.
Yes.
With no doubts whatsoever.
No doubts. And then move forward and know that you'll be where you are supposed to be, doing what you are supposed to be doing at the time you are to be doing it, and have absolute confidence in that.
Yes, you must.
And never stop. Never hesitate. Just continue on. It doesn't mean you don't get depressed and you don't get confused, but...
Yeah. If you can't do that, then you're lying about your faith in God.
Right. Right. And I think there's a there's tranquil feeling about that. I talk to clients all the time about that, and they come in so confused and disturbed, and I say, why are you so anxious? And they say, well, because I have all these problems. I have all these worries. And now you're dumping on me and telling me about this New World Order business. I say, wait a second. Are you a believer in something? I ask if they have a religious affiliation. And if they say yes, I try to pin it down a little bit. But I do say, do you have faith? And they say yes. And I say, well, wait a minute. If you have faith, then you must trust in that belief, right? And they say, well, yes. I say, well, if you're trusting in that belief and you're not trusting in yourself, why are you anxious? What's to be anxious about? And they kind of look at me with a quizzical look on their face and say, gee, maybe I don't have as much faith as I thought.
At least they're honest.
Yeah, at least they're honest.
At least they're honest.
That's the beginning.
Yeah, I never could figure out if somebody would stand in front of me and tell me that they were a Christian, but they couldn't help me because they might get on somebody's list. And I'd look at them and say, are you afraid to die?
Yes.
How can you be a Christian if you're afraid to die? How can, you know, you know, we're not trying to push anybody's religion down anybody's throat. We're just talking about this particular part of religious belief. If you truly believe and trust and put your faith in God, how in the world could you be afraid to die?
Right.
I would be afraid to live.
Right. That's exactly right.
If I couldn't trust in God, I would be afraid to live.
Exactly. Yeah, that's precisely correct. And, you know, all religion seems to boil down to three basic tenets, at least on the side of the ledger that we believe we are on. Like I said, we oppose the ACLU and others because we believe they're on the other side of the ledger. That we call the negative, call what you want. We're on the positive side. I don't know. We have different...
Don't you think it's strange that an organization that pretends to be on the side of law and order and to protect the constitutionally protected rights of the people would actually... in their literature and in their speech, deny the existence of the second article and amendment?
Right. It's a fraud. They're a fraud.
They are a fraud.
So many people.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable. I look at this reference frame and I say, look, there's three basic building blocks of spirituality. And when I ask folks, I say, well, do you have a belief? I'm not trying to pin them down to a particular belief. I want to know if they have a belief, and the belief all boils down to three basic elements: faith, belief in that system, hope or trust, which means giving yourself over to it completely, and then charity or loving this being, this creator, this God, if you will, above all, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And my gosh, that's the golden rule, and we do that by obeying and entering the material world in stewardship and helping one another. It's just, I mean, if we all did that, we would have we'd have a much better world, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you see people spinning in cul-de-sacs, and I think one thing I would encourage the listeners to do is turn off the idiot box and the talking heads and do a lot more reading, thinking, listening, helping.
Yeah.
Those who are trying. I think you made a good point when you said a very small percentage actually stand up and do something is discouraging to me, because I know what you're saying. I mean, maybe you've got 1% of the listeners who will really send.
But you see, that sounds like such a small number, but that's really all it takes, because the rest of them are not engaged in the battle.
Right.
They're not there. They are not a threat to either side. They are the flotsam and jetsam of any conflict. They are at the mercy of the conflict and of the victor.
There is sand we're sifting. if we find one pearl in the sand, if this message reaches one pearl that can make a difference, it's worth it. It's worth it. I know you've got to get tired sometimes.
Well, I'm exhausted today. I've already talked about that. I don't have any energy level at all right now. It's like on a scale of 1 to 10, it's about 0.1.
Let me leave you with one comment on a thought on this Ken Starr.
Okay.
You know, I've thought a lot about this. We talked about this in our little group here in northeastern Ohio that gets together and talks about all these things. to me, he worked for the Illuminati. He worked for Clinton. He worked for these people. He protects, he shelters, he harbors, he shapes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're now down to shaping this attack on the presidency of the United States into a manageable crisis, which is couched in sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
It's so obvious. I mean, the main issues have been left on the sidelines. And you pointed it out a number of times in the broadcast here the last few days. This business with China, the secrets, the real treason that's not even talked about, the involvement of Hillary Clinton and the things she was involved in right before the Murrah building was detonated.
Yeah, financing.
Was aware of that were buried. The shredding of evidence, the gathering of evidence, and the losing of evidence. This is a staged event. This guy's a player, and I don't know anybody who can't see that at this point with what's going on in the media. To me, is just completely missed the boat here.
I think Hegel is smiling from ear to ear wherever he's at.
He's got to be grinning from chin to chin.
He's so happy. Ooh, look, boy, I never knew it would work this well when I wrote it, but look it down there. They make me proud.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, listen, I wanted to ask you, did you understand why I told you to stop playing the game with the Bar Association and attack them viciously?
Yes. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
The issue was raised on contract. And an issue, and a threat was brought about using their own systems, which you and I graciously call the federal court system against
uh-huh.
them,
uh-huh.
Interfering with the right to contract.
Yeah.
I have a right as a sovereign citizen of the United States of America. I hold the highest office in the land, not the bar.
Yep.
And I have a right to contract with my clients, and their interference with that right gives me the right into federal court and enjoin them from doing so.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sent a chill down from the spine.
I bet it did too.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that very much. It took a while for it to sink in, Bill, but you plant these seeds, and like I say, we keep you and your family in our prayers every day. We're at war. I agree with you. We are at war.
Yes, we are.
We hope that it remains a non-shooting war. But I know how you feel about that. I do feel that that's what they want. They want us in the streets shooting one another so they can enslave us. I think if we call their bluff and we educate enough people on the use of the dialectic, if people begin thinking in dimensional thought, three-dimensional thought instead of one-dimensional thought, that they can think and understand thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, creating problems, destabilizing, and planting seeds and controlling. If they can do that successfully, they can think through these problems and not play into it. You hit it right on the head with Y2K. It's not Y2K. That's not the issue. It's how people react to the Y2K problem that's the issue.
Absolutely.
So, hey, your prayers are with our prayers are with you. Hang in there. You guys are doing a great job. I want you to keep the faith, and we'll try to round up as many listeners as we can. And hey, listeners, support this effort. Support this effort. There's no other voice out there that is doing what Bill and Doyle and Bill's family is doing and are willing to sacrifice as much as they are for this cause. With that, I'm gonna let somebody else come in. Bill?
Well, thank you, Rick.
God bless
you.
Take care of yourself and take care of the family.
And our love to Barbara.
Too.
And thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, folks, there is a rule in war. Whoever decides they are going to take the defensive side of the war has lost the battle when they make that decision. They've lost. Mm-hmm. They've lost the war, as a matter of fact. Good evening, you're on the air. There are times when you must assume a defensive position temporarily. But that cannot be the method that you decide to fight the war. You must attack, because that's the only way that you can ever win. Good evening.
Hello, Bill. This is Ron from Ohio.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, about a year ago, I sent you a package about this team-based management deal. The people would only open up their eyes and look what's happening in the factories. Then they would know what's happening on with this country, too.
Doyle. You have the microphone, Doyle. Doyle knows all about that team management baloney.
Well, for my job because of not signing my name to this piece of paper.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to fight this for about a whole year. I sent you all the information. I don't know if you received it or what, but I've been...
Sue them.
Huh?
Sue them. Go on the attack. You weren't listening to me a few minutes ago.
Well, I've been attacking them.
No. You're not attacking them until you sue them.
Well, I've been trying to. Bar Association won't even back me up on this either.
Through the Bar Association. When I go to court, I go to court myself. I don't take a lawyer with me. That's a way to lose.
Yeah, I know. I've been trying different ways here. But I, with my radio station, too, trying to wake up people, I spent all my money and everything trying to wake up the people in this area. They don't realize that this big factory is getting set up for a safe labor camp. They have their own electric power. And about 10 miles down the road, there's a big steel factory, which I believe they have maybe a microwave oven in there that's going to kill people, too, you know. It's possible.
Well, now don't go off the deep end.
I'm not going off the deep end, but it's kind of funny how things are happening because there's been a lot of deaths at the steel factory here, too.
Well, what you need to do is find documentation and proof, not make assumptions based upon what might turn out later to be not real, logical thinking.
Right. That's understandable. I deal with truth and facts. That's how I expose everything. And through this whole thing, I've been researching since 92 on this team-based management, and I asked all the lawyers, I asked everybody I've been around, even with the companies, telling them that they might be making the biggest mistake. And through this whole deal, I exposed 13 members of Northwestern Ohio of the Illuminati.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, and I'm being watched quite a bit. I have helicopters come over my house and hovered and everything, but I am still out there fighting because what is more important is being free because God gave us that gift.
You're right.
That's yeah.
The most important thing in the world. If you're not free, then nothing else can be for you.
That's right. And I'm glad that you're back on the air. I missed you for about a whole year, you know, but still I play your tapes on my radio station.
Good.
And they're trying to circulate, trying to figure out where the transmission is coming from. They never figure it out.
Good for you.
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
My whole life has changed since they tried to draft me to Vietnam.
Well, good for you.
You know, and I've been a rebel, and I'm still going to be a rebel. I'm not going to go no prison. They're going to have to put a bullet in my head before they take me to prison because I got a friend that's in prison. And he's been set up for murder because of this establishment.
Well, I can't comment on that because I don't know anything about what you're talking about.
Well, you know John from Michigan?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Hey, he's my friend.
John couldn't have killed anybody in his whole life.
I know
John. John was a gentle soul. There was no way that John could have ever hurt anyone.
I know that.
It just could not possibly have happened.
Yeah, they do a lot of crooked things in that. And I've been doing a lot of research into that area, too, trying to help him out. But he's up in northern Michigan someplace now.
Yeah.
And he's still alive, as far as I know.
Well, that's good.
You know, but...
yeah, John...
I can't believe the people...
John was framed. John was framed. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Anybody who knew John at all would know that John couldn't possibly hurt anybody, and it's, you know, it's I just absolutely am blown away by what they've done to him.
Yeah, me too. But I just have my prayers for him. Maybe we'll see him someday, because we need him on our side.
Well, he is.
Get the message out there, you know.
I'm sure he's educating a few people in prison.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think he is, unless they got him drugged up all the time.
Well, who knows? Well, listen, we got to get out of here
because
we're up against the wall now.
I think you should do a show on this team-based management deal.
Well, maybe Doyle will. Doyle's the expert on that. Listen, I got to let you go. Take care. Thanks
all
for
right,
calling.
Bye.
What's the matter? Oh, okay. God, you scared me the way you ran in here. I thought something was wrong. I was ready to pull my pistol out of the holster.
Okay, everybody, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Good night, everybody, and God bless each and every single one of you.
I'm William Cooper. We are now, ladies and gentlemen, being carried by many, many, I don't know the exact count, but I'm getting email messages and letters from all across the country and Canada. We are now being carried by a whole lot of low-power micro-broadcasting FM stations all over the place. Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow night to the Hour of the Time, right here on WBCQ, The Planet.